Amen. If you remember my sermon last week, you might have thought that I seemed to weave in and out throughout the sermon between the emphasis upon the work of the Holy Spirit and our work, our responsibility. That observation is actually a fair assessment. That's exactly what I was trying to do. Understanding that is so important. This list in Galatians is the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. These things are the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things that God the Spirit works in us. They are not the byproduct of our own ability or strength. They are not within our own natural power. In fact, they are the very opposite of the desires of the flesh that wage war with our soul. And if you forget that, you're doomed to failure. For if you try and make yourself more patient, you're unlikely to succeed. And with reference to our subject this afternoon, if you try to make yourself more joyful, you might likely come away wondering just what joy is in the first place, and why, wondering why it seems so elusive. It isn't just something you can conjure up in your own ability. It's the work of the Spirit. But on the other hand, look at the language in this chapter, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's an exhortation. That's a command. That's an imperative in the language, in the Greek and in the English language. Walk by the Spirit. Verse 18 refers to being led by the Spirit. Again, reference to our responsibilities. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, that task, walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, is our responsibility. The idea there in that verse is of an army battalion marching in step with one another. It refers to the members of a marching band. Everyone keeps in step, right, left, and everyone is marching in the same way. If you've ever been in the military or ever marched in a parade, you know how much diligent effort that actually takes. And so I want to weave in and out again between those two ideas, that the fruit of the Spirit is indeed the work of God in us, and that we ourselves have responsibility to live, to walk by the Spirit. And we can never lose that sense of our responsibility and expect to bear good fruit, but you can go about it in your own strength, and you will not likely succeed either. Joy is a difficult subject for some people because real joy, as I've already alluded to, can be quite elusive. Perhaps because of great sorrow or grief. Perhaps because of some hardship or distress. Life sometimes is very hard. I had a pastor who once used to say regularly, but always wisely, in responding to something hard or difficult in life, it was, that's a result of living in a fallen world. And there's a reality to that. We can't escape that. We can't pretend that that doesn't exist. And yet, joy is a duty placed upon us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul writes to the Philippians, again, I will say rejoice. So here it is. It's commanded of us. It's exhorted of us to be joyful. And yet it is a subjective experience that ultimately is the work of God in us. It's not under our control. How can you make yourself joyful when you feel miserable? That's our context this afternoon. And I want to begin with a definition of joy. What is it? What is this thing, this idea, this experience we call joy? And understanding that is really the key to all of the sorts of questions I'm raising already this afternoon. Now, in some ways, that's an unanswerable question, because true biblical joy is not something you can reduce to a few short words. It's not a doctrinal proposition that can be presented and explained and then just understood in the logic of the mind. It isn't a slogan. It's not a bumper sticker. I can offer a helpful suggestion so we can have some sense of what joy is all about. I would put it this way to begin with. Joy is the happiness that transcends outward experience. The important word there is not happiness, but transcends. In other words, I don't want to get bogged down in a definition of happiness, but emphasize this, that joy is something that goes beyond our outward experience, our mere emotions. Joy transcends, goes beyond all the data points of life. For some of us, actually, I think for every one of us, those data points are something of a mixed bag. In other words, some things in your life are what we would simply and easily call good, happy, enjoyable, pleasant, delightful. And some things are not. Some are bad from the perspective of our vantage point. Some are unpleasant. Some are hard. Some are grievous. And your outward experiences are going to vary from day to day, sometimes even from moment to moment. And so the key to understanding joy is realizing that it belongs to a realm, a part of your being that goes beyond, that transcends your circumstances. In at least two ways, it goes deeper than mere emotions. Joy is a matter of the soul. It's what Jonathan Edwards would label as the affections. And I appreciate that distinction. Not the pulsating emotions of our ever-changing feelings. And I'm not criticizing that. That's part and parcel of how God made us. Some people express them more than others. Some people feel them more intensely in one direction or the other than others. But God has made us in such a way that we have ever-changing emotions. And that's not good or bad. I'm not offering any criticism of that. There's a pulsating sense of life. But joy refers to something deeper, the condition of your soul. And in a simple way, I define joy as the delight of the soul. Thus, the soul is the center of this joy. We could look at a number of cross-references. One is Psalm 71, verse 22. I will also praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. So the lips sing, with your voice you make music, shouting songs of praise, but it's the soul that's the origin of that joy. My soul also shouts for joy. Well, your soul, as I'm defining it and focusing on it, is that non-physical part of you, that internal part of you, sometimes called the heart, sometimes called the spirit. It's that part of you that is in direct relationship with God. Your soul doesn't make noise the way your lips do, but it does sing praise. My soul shouts for joy. That's what the psalmist is saying. Isaiah 61 10. Similarly, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That's such a pleasant description. A soul that delights in the Lord, a soul that delights in the salvation which the Lord has provided. A soul that delights in the robe of righteousness, the clothing of righteousness with which the Lord covers his people. Thus, joy is the delight of the soul. And because of that reality, the difficult experiences of life do not abolish that joy. They might abolish the emotion of happiness. They might abolish or do away with temporarily that happy feeling when things are going well, but they don't abolish, they don't destroy, they don't undermine even the depth of experience of a soul that delights in the Lord. Because that joy isn't grounded in happy circumstances, as our emotions typically would be. Joy isn't founded upon a pleasant situation or a happy occasion. Rather, it's grounded in the well-being of your soul. It's grounded in the unchanging truth and reality of the glories of eternal salvation that Jesus has accomplished. And so those outward circumstances come and go. Good times come and go. Hard times come and go. But the love of God, which is shown to us in Christ, abides forever and is unchanging, regardless of the external circumstances. There is where you begin to understand the meaning of joy, the delight of the soul in the goodness and mercy of God. One of my absolute favorite passages of Scripture is an expression of that sort of delight. I used it this morning as an invitation, a call to worship, from Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, outwardly, everything's going wrong. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. That's a poetic definition of joy. He makes my feet like the deer's. He gives me hinds feet to tread on high places. That's joy. Though the fig tree should not blossom, that's a hardship. Though there's no fruit in the fields, that's difficult. There's no flocks in the fold. There's no herd, nothing. And yet Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. God the Lord is my strength. That's the reality of joy. The experience of delight in the salvation of the Lord in your soul, regardless of what happens to be going on the surface, outwardly. How is that possible? Well, let me go back to the emphasis of our text in Galatians 5. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is connected to the work of God in salvation. And so we take joy, as Habakkuk says, in the God of my salvation. So joy is the satisfaction that grows out of the experience of salvation. Again, I'm trying to put it in words so we can grab a hold of it a little bit, but even that's inadequate. But it's the best I can do in our language. Joy is the satisfaction that grows out of the experience of salvation. Notice, it doesn't grow out of the experiences of life. Again, some of those experiences are hard, grievous, as some of them are happy and good. But joy grows out of the consciousness, the experience, the awareness of salvation. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. That's why the emphasis of this joy as the fruit of the Spirit is so essential. Because this fruit is possible in the ways I'm describing it only for Christians. only for believers. You see, this joy is founded upon that work of God in our salvation. Joy grows out of the awareness and consciousness of the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life. And only believers have that consciousness and confidence. Let me give you an historical illustration of that from the book of Nehemiah. Something amazing happened in the life of Israel during the days of Nehemiah. They found the law. It's hard for us to sort of comprehend, but they had lost it. Ezra the priest found it and read it to the people. Nehemiah 8:8. They read from the book, the law of God, clearly. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah 8:9. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our God. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, this day is holy, do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Why? Why was it such a time of joy? Why such delight that the joy of the Lord would be their strength? Because God had redeemed the nation. God had brought them back out of exile. God had restored them to the promised land. He had given them the promised blessing. And in all of that, in the context of the Old Testament, as I've been emphasizing in Deuteronomy, all of that is the type and picture of our salvation. And so here's the point. Joy at its deepest level is the response of your soul to the experience, not just the assent or intellectual assent, but the experience of salvation. Joy is the response of the redeemed soul. Let me read a couple other verses that speak of connecting this experience of joy with the awareness of salvation. Isaiah 12:1. "You will say in that day, 'I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you are angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.'" Or Psalm 95, verse 1. "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." Joy is the response to the experience of salvation. Psalm 98:1, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises." Beloved, if you are to be a joy seeker, longing to know that experience of joy, then the satisfaction that will bring that delight to your soul is nothing less than this declaration of the salvation of our God. Don't take that for granted. Don't minimize the impact. Don't sit back and grow bored or disinterested. This is our calling. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. You who know and believe that there is salvation to be found in Jesus through faith and trust in Him. And that must be what Paul refers to when he writes in the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. It is the response to the awareness, the confidence, the experience of knowing, believing, and feeling, as it were, what it means to be in relationship to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Joy is something far different than the mere emotion of happiness. And the difference is that it's deeply rooted. The emotion of happiness is an enjoyable thing. It comes and it goes. Joy is removed from that merely emotional response to the outward experiences of life. Joy is deeply spiritual. It is a work, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, joy is only found in the Lord. Because only the Lord brings real satisfaction. And we need to be reminded of that and be encouraged in that and be stirred up in that. Only the salvation that is accomplished by the Lord is sufficient to satisfy the human soul. That's a very profound observation. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy your soul the way that the awareness and knowledge and confidence in the work of salvation can. And yet we try sometimes to satisfy our souls with other things. And it just doesn't work. The psalmist declares, Psalm 42, 1, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I come and appear before God?" My soul thirsts for God. That's a soul that finds its satisfaction in God alone. And there's where joy is to be found. The human soul is created in the image of God. And thus it can find its joy only in the Lord. Psalm 92 Verse 1, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. At the works of your hands I sing for joy." Only the Lord can make you glad. Only the Lord can ground the joy in your soul. That's such a valuable lesson to learn because we don't instinctively think that way. We think there's many other things that can make us happy, even in a deep-seated way. But they fail. Money can't make you happy. Money can't ground your joy because money by its very nature and definition is subject to being lost. And when you die, you leave it all behind. Grades in school can't be the ground of your joy. People can't be the ground of that joy. Even people that are happy and delightful to you within your own family or marriage. But ultimately, we fail one another, don't we? Because ultimately, we die. And that is one of the aspects of grief for the person who's lost someone they love. There's this sense of being rejected, and that's anything but joyful. All of the things of this world are temporary. We looked at that a good bit this morning in terms of the idols of this world. All of the things of this world that we try and accumulate to give us some sense of security and satisfaction are uncertain. They're all subject to change. Some of them are good and fine and helpful and edifying, but they're not permanent. And to the contrary, as Nehemiah put it, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, joy results from the restoration of fellowship with God. In Nehemiah, the people wept and mourned at the consciousness of their sins. They wept as they heard the words of the law. And rightly they should have, in the godly sorrow of repentance. But Nehemiah's response was so striking. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Do not be grieved. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be grieved, because though you have sinned, and though the law has now shown you your sin, there is fellowship in the Lord. There is forgiveness of sins. It's the joy of reconciliation with the Lord. It's the joy of that forgiveness. That was their strength. And there's only one way to have that joy yourself, and that is through faith and trust in Jesus. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, we've seen it, we testify to it, and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. If you depend upon outward circumstances to make your joy complete, you will not succeed. If you depend upon other people to make your joy complete, you will fall short. But the Apostle John knew the right answer. And that's the answer I proclaim to you this afternoon. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that joy is yours. When you see, when you hear, when you believe the word of life, the fruit of joy will be yours when you fix your heart and your soul upon Jesus, the Word of life who became flesh and lived among us. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's the context in which joy prospers. So if you would walk in the Spirit, if you would keep in step with the Spirit, in order to be able to enjoy this fruit of joy, then the work of God unto salvation must be very, very real in your life. Not just something that's part of your religious side that you indulge on Sundays or maybe even a few other times during the week. Not just an aspect of life that's part of who you are. It has to be the very focus of your life. The awareness of that salvation which God has accomplished and offers to you by faith in Jesus Christ must be at the very center of your mind. Indeed, if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe that, then you need to begin right there with that faith. And that is always the way in which the gospel can be presented to those who don't believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And by that salvation, your joy made complete. So, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, live out this fruit of the Spirit, including joy. And when you are tempted to be irritable because the circumstances of life are hard, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. When you're tempted to despair or be depressed or losing hope because of the circumstances of the world, let the joy of the Lord be your strength as you endure those hardships of the world. When you're discouraged, when you grieve, when you're sorrowful, when you're troubled, when you're in distress, let the joy of the Lord be your strength in the midst of that. I'm not making light of those circumstances. I'm not saying that your outward emotion will even change. But let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and do not be grieved. The joy of the Lord is your strength. May God work in you and in me this glorious fruit, such that your soul would delight in the salvation of God. And if it does, if you know the joy of happiness that does transcend your outward experiences, if you do know the joy of satisfaction in the experience of salvation, then make a joyful noise to the Lord. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the product of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength, and He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Let's pray. Father, give to us such joy. Joy that goes beyond anything that is part of our emotions, our mere emotions, something that goes to the very depth of our soul. Help us to think about, to meditate on, to fix our minds on the reality of that work of Jesus Christ for our salvation. That we have an inheritance in the promised land, and we shall succeed in taking possession of that inheritance. Help us, O Father, to have this joy, to be our strength in the midst of a world that offers so much trouble. So much trouble that we have to bear. Help us to look deeper than those outward circumstances and to know that in relationship to you, it is well. It is well with my soul. And so, our Father, grant to us this fruit of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.